All right, well, thank you all for coming. Happy to answer any questions y'all have.
Mayor, last time we saw you, it was a little raw on the emotions with the latest development with the Race Stadium. Now that you've had a little time to process everything, what do you foresee as being next for the gas plant district area?
You know, I'm really excited about where we are. We just got back from Tallahassee this afternoon. But even there, a lot of the legislators and folks at the Capitol had the same question, where are we going? I'm really optimistic about where we are. We made a lot of progress. All the work that we put into that is really foundational. It's things that we can build on. And so I'm excited about moving forward. We've got a lot on our plate. Number one, getting the trot fixed under our current obligations, giving the Rays a place to play through 2028. We're working on that. And then how we move forward with the development of the historic gas plant in a way that meets the community's priorities as soon as possible. I still want to try to match that phasing that was in this plan for housing, for jobs, on land that we can develop, and still have a window open for the possibility of a new stadium deal if there's a new ownership group that's interested in that. But we are well positioned to move forward. All that background work that we did has really put us in a good place, and most importantly, that land comes back to the city and we'll move forward based on the community's priorities.
There's a lot of different groups that have shown interest in trying to put together a proposal for this city. Are you excited about any of those proposals? But is the land even for sale? Are you looking to partner?
I'm excited about the interest in St. Pete and in that western part of downtown that, you know, we knew that was the case, and we're starting to see that with the amount of folks who are reaching out who are interested. But it's going to be based on the community's priorities, working with city council, working with the community. We've done a lot of that just back in 2022 when we had community forums asking the community what they wanted to see there, and it was jobs, it was housing, economic opportunity, and really fulfilling those 40-year-old promises. So we got a good basis to move on. We're going to move forward.
Do you plan on putting out an RFP?
We haven't made a decision at this point, but we are envisioning development within that first phase of 2028-2030.
And have the Rays sent their termination letter?
I have not seen it. I'm 3 hours back from Tallahassee, so unless they've sent it in the last 3 hours, I haven't been notified that they have.
Okay. Mayor, Pinellas County is putting together a letter detailing the expenses incurred for working on the deal, and they said they would reach out to St. Pete. Do you support asking the Rays to reimburse the city for expenses related to putting together?
I have to think about it. I saw mention of that. I think it was Commissioner Ivala mentioned it in his social media. We have spent a lot of money to get this. I can't give you a number right now, but just the hours of that was a really bad pun, ballpark. But just the hours of staff, legal, over a year. And like I said, nights, weekends, you name it, a lot has been put into this. So I do think his notion has merit, and we'll consider it.
What's the timeline on that? Have you spoken with Barry Burton?
I have not.
Can you talk a little bit about the Tropicana Field, the delay, you know, the vote for city council to repair Tropicana's roof was supposed to be tomorrow, Thursday. Is it still on track for next week?
It is still on track. I'm not concerned about it. We want to make sure we do this the right way and that council has material in a timely manner so that they can review it. That was not possible because of some of the technical issues they're trying to work out with our contractor, but as Rob Gerdes said, we still anticipate being ready opening day, and we'll get this to council as soon as it's ready.
What are the technical?
Just insurance related. It's nothing that I'm concerned about, but we want to make sure everything is done right and that we have it in council's hands so they can review it well before the council meeting.
Is the fact that there is no termination letter just yet, did it factor into delaying that vote?
No. Mayor, when we spoke to Matt Silverman, he said that there may be room at some point for a private apology to you or to city staff. Have you gotten any sort of apology?
I had not heard that. Apologies are always good when someone is wrong, but it's not to me, it's to this community, so it wouldn't be private. There are ways to move forward, but look, I have to represent the people of St. Petersburg elected me. They pay my salary. Their priorities are my priorities. And if anyone is owed an apology, it's the citizens of St. Pete and our partners.
Mayor, today marks 6 months since Hurricane Helene hit. we still have a lot of people not back into their homes, waiting on permits, and they want to know what's going on.
Well, you know, we're doing everything that we can with permits. We're doing very well compared to other municipalities. I was up with the Suncoast League of Cities in Tallahassee. And if you talk to other cities, St. Pete is doing a really good job. We've added personnel, I think two from the state and then six other private contractors. And so we are doing as much as we can to get those permits going through. We're well over 7,000 at this point. And we certainly empathize with folks that are still in the process. But I relate it kind of like to the debris issue. We've never had this volume of permitting, just like we never had that volume of debris. But we got the job done there, and we'll get it done with permitting as well.
Touching off that, what's your message to people who got those code enforcement cases that were open on a lot of communities? They felt that they weren't informed of it, and they felt a little blindsided by it.
We can always learn about communication, but we don't say we're perfect. If there are ways to communicate that better, we'll do that. But our staff, I think, replied to that. It was procedural. It was to make sure that we were monitoring it in line with FEMA. FEMA weighed in and said we are doing it the right way and show us as an example. So we'll always try to communicate better, but there was no harm intended by that. We want to be in line with the FEMA processes for the good of the community and the protection of our insurance rates.
And it'll come up tomorrow at City Council, but what's the latest on the utility bills, people who got the high water bills, still getting the high water bills?
Yeah, certainly something that we're concerned about, and it's another example of something that this storm revealed that is a problem that we need to deal with in a forthright way, and we are doing that. We've got a couple of resolutions coming to City Council that will address our code and allow us to be more flexible with folks. We've got an antiquated IT system, the Navaline system, that will be replaced by Tyler, a much more modern system. Part of that is the estimating process, and then you've got the code issue. So we're moving on a number of fronts to address that. It is a problem. I certainly empathize with folks that got a high bill. I've talked to staff, particularly about folks that get an automatic withdrawal, and then that causes all other problems for them. So we are working on that. We won't stop until we've got it resolved.
What does that mean for the low-income families in this area that were hit during the storms last year?
Grant, we're talking about tonight, Sunrise, St. Pete. You know, that is something we're really excited about. It really shows the commitment of our team. You know, only two cities in Florida received that, and we received about $160 million grant. Most of that's targeted for folks making 80% AMI or below. So it gives us a real opportunity to apply those resources, and tonight is really the kickoff for that to get going through the HUD process. You have to get community input as you put together your action plan, and this is really the start of that tonight. So I'm really excited. It is a large amount of money. It shows our federal partnerships are working, and we're excited about it.
What are some things that got you guys to qualify? You said you're only two cities in Florida.
You know, we are really intentional about being connected with our federal partners, our elected representatives with FEMA. When we go to Washington, we talk to those folks. When I went to Tallahassee last night, we visited the Department of Emergency Management, talked to them about opportunities. So I just think our outreach, our focus on partnerships, David Thompson and his team do a great job. Our grants folks, Amy Foster, they all are focused on bringing resources down to our community. I think all those had an impact here.
Mayor, what can people do in the meantime? Because I know it's going to take 2 years for the funds to get here.
Well, be involved in this process. Shaping the action plan is an important step. I believe the website, Sam, is it Sunrise?
SunriseSt.com.
Go to that and take a look at how this will work. But really, by the end of summer, we're going to basically have that action plan outlined. And so I direct them to that website. If not, give us a call at my office. This is really important for our community.
Are there similar grants that they can apply to that can get funding quicker?
We've got We Are St. Pete fund that has over $1 million in it as well that will help folks in a number of ways. And we're always trying to get additional funds.
Mayor, City Council Member Richie Floyd has an item up for a vote tomorrow on a discussion on sunsetting the in-town CRA. Do you support that item, and how would it affect future gas plants?
I'm looking forward to discussing that and understanding Councilmember Floyd's position on it. I've heard him talk about it, you know, during the discussion of the historic gas plant. He doesn't think we need it, but, you know, I just spent a couple days defending CRAs in Tallahassee because there has been this ongoing, this is for more than a decade, an attempt to preempt CRAs from the state level. And our CREs, whether it's the in-town or South St. Pete, provide real benefits to our community. So I'd love to have the discussion with him and the council about what the benefits are, what the outstanding needs are. And at some point, yes, downtown CRA won't be justified. I'm not sure we're at that point now. But also remember that the county has a midpoint review for all CRAs as well. Some of our commissioners during this historic gas plant conversation also said, you know, at some point we need to sunset some of the CRAs, in particularly downtown St. Pete CRA. So it's not a new discussion. I just want to make sure the timing is right and that we're focused on the same goals and the needs that we have over the remaining time span of that CRA.
Like you hit on it, South St. Pete isn't the same as downtown. Those are very different needs and very different places.
No, it is not. And, you know, the beautiful thing about CRAs is it's local control, local funding. South St. Pete CRA was the first built aimed at poverty reduction, and now you've seen the second in Lelman Pinellas Park, the third just started in Greenwood Clearwater, and it's supported in a bipartisan way all across the county. We were making that argument to the minority leader in Tallahassee that we were doing the right things with those CRAs. So at a certain time, it'll be time to sunset downtown, and we'll have that conversation.
Mayor, for the utility billing, there's been a lot done to help people after the fact, but are you considering anything in terms of an audit or investigating the root causes of these utility billing issues?
Yeah, that's ongoing. You know, we still don't have a silver bullet as to why this happened. You know, the combination of the flooding, the legacy system we have for estimating, the metering issue is another one. So I think there are a lot of culprits, and I think it was, you know, the perfect storm in some of these cases. My focus is that we treat people fairly and that we don't throw people into a fiscal problem because of a problem we have on our end. Again, the person who has an automatic debit for $2,000, now they've got, you know, not sufficient funds issues and others. So I want to make sure what we're doing is fair to everyone, that we fix the problems that are out there that never have risen to this level before last summer. But we're focused on it.
And then you mentioned being in Tallahassee the last few days. Are there bills or pieces of legislation related to hurricane recovery that you're particularly focused on or interested in that you've got your eye on?
Well, there are a lot of good bills. There's some bills that we have problems with, and we're having those conversations with our representatives. Representative Cheney and I yesterday talked to the Times about a bill that would put a two-year moratorium on changes in our land development code, and we agreed on that being problematic in certain circumstances. So I think some of these bills are well intended, but when you get down to some unintended consequences, we need to let our legislators know about that, and that's what those trips are about.
Like you were just touching on with the water bills, to the person who either had their auto pay on or they were scared they were going to get their water shut off, they just paid it and they want their money back, what would you say to that person?
I would say to them, we're working on it. If you haven't had that resolved, give my office a call and we'll work on it. But that, to me, is one of the most important issues that we can deal with. Kind of hold folks harmless and not do additional harm. And that example, I think one of our council members mentioned being contacted early on by someone who had that same exact example. So, again, we want to be fair to everybody. We understand the problems in the system that have been long existing, but just have been exacerbated because of the storms and that combination of limits in our code as to what we can do, our metering and our system for estimating. All those things kind of work together.
And now 6 months later, Helene and Milton were unprecedented and did so much damage to our entire area. Just today, looking back on the last 6 months, what would be just your message to the community?
That we are a resilient community. When you look at the amount of debris that we were able to move in 90 days, I mean, we look absolutely different than we did 3 or 4 months ago. And I know that had an impact on folks. They wanted that debris gone yesterday. But what we said is be patient with us. We've got a system. We're adding resources. And we moved more debris in 90 days than the last three hurricanes times five. So we can handle big issues. We can handle, you know, problems that, you know, are testing our infrastructure, problems with our plants that we've never had before. We've never had a boil water notice citywide before. But the reality of our environment has changed. And so we need to be ready for that next Milton. That's why we're trying to move up upwards of $1 billion for our infrastructure, to make sure our plants are ready, to make sure that, that our infrastructure is ready for the new threats that we're seeing. So we're up for the challenge. Our community is up for the challenge. I'm proud of the way our community has responded. I can tell you the feedback I get in the community is highly positive. And even though those areas who were upset that we weren't moving debris fast enough, now are thanking us for the job that we did there. And I think it built our working relationship with the community. And we know that that's not the last big storm that we're going to see. And we'll be better prepared next time.
That touches on my last question is, to the people, you know, June 1st is not far away.
It's
to the people who are not back in their homes and they're worried that St. Pete might not be ready for another storm, what would you say to them?
We're better prepared than we've ever been. We've learned from every storm, and we learned from last year. And we will keep getting better prepared for every storm, more resilient, stronger after every storm. And that's not only St. Pete's mantra, that's in line with the state's division of emergency management, that we get stronger, we rebuild stronger every time. And that's the way we're going to take this on. This is my home, and this is, you know, the place that I want to see my daughters and their children be able to live here and be confident that we made the right decisions now. So these aren't going to be easy decisions. They're going to be costly. I won't be able to cut the millage for the first time as a mayor. I've cut it every year. Won't be able to do it now because we've got investments that we just have to make right now. And so I think the community is ready for that, and I'm looking forward to it.
I have one more question that I thought of.
You said that was left.
False advertising.
Just the inside of the trough. What's the latest on, like, what it looks like architecturally? Obviously, it's been open for quite some time now.
We're making progress on it. I mean, there's nothing like the first time I walked in there. It was like, you know, a sci-fi movie, The Walking Dead, something like that. Just really jarring. But our team has done tremendous work. MLB signed off on the roofing material and the color within the last few days. And so we're going to have, you know, our old trop back. You don't miss it until it's gone, right? Because it's not just baseball. Even graduations and other community events can happen there. We don't have a large enclosed space like the trop. So I am proud of our team's work, and we're going to get it done hopefully by opening day on 26.
Is the roof going to be white again?
Yeah, that's a whole designer issue. They picked the color they're good with, so that's the color it'll be. I don't know if you call it off-white or whatever.
Did the city receive any new information from Major League Baseball that might have led to the delay?
No, that had nothing to do with it. As far as I know. It was not, you know, because MLB sent us something, or that had nothing to do with the delay.
Did Major League Baseball send
No.
Okay. Right. It makes it sound like something was sent, but
no, because there's a lot of speculation, and I read some of that, you know, one of our council members made some comments that, you know, that we weren't being forthcoming or we weren't being transparent. I forget the exact quote. It really had nothing to do with it. We want to make sure the agreements were right and that what we presented to council was complete and they had it in enough time. That's really the only reason.